Hello, and welcome to the Daring to Succeed podcast. I'm your host, Juliana Yao Jorgen, and I'm so excited to be joined today by Jen Smith, career and HR consultant. Jen is a former HR and talent leader and the host of the Flourish Careers podcast. Her specialties include heart-based career development, well-being at work, career transitions, professional branding, talent acquisition, and management. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Juliana. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. I always start my podcast with the same question for every guest, and that's, do you consider yourself more introverted, extroverted, or a bit of both?
I am an introvert at heart, and so much so, I'm going to share something funny. My husband calls me an urban hermit. Now, it's so funny. So I'll tell you just a quick story on how this evolved. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I love people. And I think a big misconception of introverts is that we don't like people. But I do love people. I just don't love big social interactions. I prefer deeper conversations or smaller gatherings versus noisy events. I don't really love small talk with strangers, that kind of thing. And so we live in the city of Buffalo, and we have a very big, fluffy dog. She's in Newfoundland. She's 128 pounds, and she's a conversation starter. So
every
time I take her out, somebody stops. And I'm telling you, people pull their car over. They take pictures. They come from across the street over to pet her, like all the things. And it just makes my heart race every single time. And so I started walking her at like 5 a.m, which I'm also like a morning person to a fault. So I started walking her very early just so I could have time to myself and I wouldn't have all these strangers, you know, wanting to talk with me and the dog. And so based on all of that, my husband started calling me the urban hermit. So that's kind of a joke between us now.
That's so funny. My husband and I were actually talking about getting another pet after our cat passed away. And he's been, yeah, it's so sad, but she lived till 19. So she had a very, very full life.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been really wanting a dog. And I'm like, but that means I have to go to a dog park and talk to other dog owners. And I don't know if I'm okay with that.
It's so funny. I will tell you that we've definitely met tons of our neighbors and stuff. We've met all of our neighbors just because of the dog. So it is a lovely way to kind of push yourself out and meet new people. And dog owners, I found, are very lovely people. And you usually have a lot in common from that perspective. But yeah, it can definitely be a bit much at times, especially if you have a 128-pound big floofy dog. So fun. Oh,
that's so much fun. Well, thank you for sharing that story with us.
Of course.
So going back to more career development for our introverted listeners, I just absolutely love that you focus on heart-based approach to career development. Can you tell us about a little bit about what that means to you and why it's so important?
Yes. Thank you for asking this question. And what it means to have a heart-based career, to me, it's really all about alignment. So it's aligning you to your career. And what I've realized, myself included, is that so many people all too often just feel stifled in these careers that don't fit. And it makes sense because we are kind of asked to figure out what we want to do with our careers when we're 16 or 17 years old. We're so young. I can't even think about that. Like, we just don't know enough about ourselves to be able to launch into a college curriculum or some type of trade or whatever it is, knowing that we're going to love that for the rest of our lives. Now, thank goodness the world of careers has changed so much where we are able to make things a little bit more nimble and make changes versus at least my parents who stayed in the same thing for, you know, 30 plus years. But what, to me, working in a career that doesn't fit, and I'm going to use this this kind of visual that someone once said to me when I was working in a role that didn't fit me. So to me, working in a career that doesn't fit is like a princess working on Wall Street. So think of Cinderella working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, right?
Oh my goodness.
Right? Her puffy blue and white gown and perfectly applied makeup and this blonde hairstyle, it's just not going to be a fit. And that's what I believe when people are in careers that aren't aligned to them, it's just not a fit. And then all the energy that's burned trying to fit is so much more, to the point where it's stress and it can lead to illness and sickness. And I've been there myself. And so that's really what it's about. It's about alignment. And it isn't to say that careers are all about, you know, magically going from scrubbing floors to dancing in fancy corporate boardrooms or anything like that. But I figured out a practical way to move more towards an aligned path that fits better. And maybe it's a little bit more like Cinderella's glass slipper than Cinderella working on the stock exchange. So, and just to kind of like take that one layer deeper to the more kind of practical sense, what that means is, and I always say that we have to add a little more heart to our SMART goals. So most people are familiar with the SMART goal acronym. And so I like to say adding a little more heart means that our career goals are heart-centered, which means they're aligned with our core and lifestyle values. They're energizing, so it's work that lights us up. They're agile because the world of work is moving so quickly. We have to be able to move with it. Realistic, I love setting seasonal goals, so 3 to 6 months, and then breaking them down into tiny actions. Because sometimes when we want to make a change, we think it's this big, huge thing, but so it makes us pause, but we don't actually take action because it's too big. So we got to break it down into tiny action. So that's a little more heart to the SMART. And then we can take it even further and think about that alignment. So what's an industry that you're interested in, or what's an industry you want to make an impact in? Then you take it to the role. What's a role that really generates your energy? So as introverts, we're good at deep thinking. We're good at building strong relationships. We're good at active listening. What are the things that you're really good at that you want to do more of? And how does a role align to that? And I'll say one thing is that a lot of times people are good at something, but they don't like it. So for a quick example, I was good at leading a team, but I didn't love it. So how do you figure out what you're really good at and that you like doing? And how do we map that to a role that's going to generate your energy to move forward with a sense of purpose? And then finding organizations that are a match to your values. So I break it down by industry, role, and then company that's a match to your values. And that's how you can start to align. It's never going to be perfect, but you can start to align you to a path that's going to feel a little bit more comfortable for you versus just taking whatever comes your way or doing what your mom says you should do or what your best friend is doing or whatever that is. So hopefully that makes sense.
It really does. And I love how smart it is, because I've coached people before who, speaking of fairy tales, I guess they have this fairy tale belief that if they do something they love, it will bring them fulfillment. But they attacked it almost from like the opposite end, where you're very methodical about it and very purposeful about how to narrow down what that target role and target company should be. And this coaching client I had was more, oh, I really love basketball, and I love kids, so I get to coach basketball. And I said, that's great and that's very noble of you, but is that something that you're properly skilled for? Is there a market for that? Like, are people actually hiring coaches at that level for that sport where you live? And is it just, you just take the thing that you love to do and turn that into a job? Or, like you said, do you find what you're good at and something that's more value aligned and make that your career?
Yes. Yeah. And that's actually a misconception that I hear a lot when I talk about heart-based career planning. People think it's, you have to do something altruistic, or it's taking your passion and turning that into your career. And that's really not the case. It's really just more about, Because a full life isn't just career. Yeah, we're going to spend a third of our lives working, or 90,000 hours or whatever the stats are, which is a lot. And so you want to make it something that's going to be fulfilling, but you also want to have passions outside of work. You also, you know, want to partner with your community for things. You want to have creative things. So it doesn't have to all be in the career. You know, the wheel of fulfillment isn't all career. And so I love that you're differentiating that. And it's almost like, so for that example, you know, the basketball and the coaching, and so taking the elements of that. So maybe someone wants to work in the sports industry doing something that they're really good at. And when you think about the sports industry, gosh, they need everything. They need finance people. They need HR people. They need sales people. They need IT people. They need all the things, not just the players and the coaches. So it's like kind of pulling that back a little bit, dissecting it a little bit more, and then thinking about it holistically and where you and your strengths fit into that.
Absolutely. And just from the sounds of it, I know that your clients are so well taken care of, because it sounds like you've got this nailed.
Well, it's taken me a while, but I do. I mean, I really am on a mission to share this with folks, because careers are just so hard. And I work with so many people. The first time I meet people, they're in tears crying because it's just not a fit, whether it's the, you know, their boss or the company or the industry or anything. And that's what I listen for. Like, I start to dissect it in that way. And then we start to brainstorm and help people connect the dots. And that's really where the alignment comes in. And again, it's never going to be perfect. You know, people join a company, the whole leadership team changes, the company starts going down, and they have to do it again. You know, I mean, this world of work is so wild right now, but at least it gives people kind of a roadmap to help with that alignment. And no one teaches us this in school. You know, my first job out of college, I got a business degree because I didn't know what else to do. And my first job was working in a potato chip factory as a frontline supervisor. And I worked the overnight shift. So here I am right out of college making potato chips in the middle of the night. Like, this is not my dream job by any means. It's not even close. I, you know, side note, I will say I learned a ton about running a business in that role, but I mean, was so lost. And so if I had someone to help me kind of with this roadmap or this framework, I would have at least hopefully, you know, been in a little bit of a different path, and I wouldn't have, you know, had spent all these ups and downs and doing all these things for 15 years until I figured it out. So.
Yeah. And kind of thinking back to what you mentioned about, we're expected to kind of figure out what we want to do in our careers for the rest of our lives at 16. And I don't know about what it was like for you in school, but for me, it was a lot of like assessments and tests and things that they're like, oh, well, if you like these things, you should consider these careers, but there was no depth to it. And I think that value alignment piece that you've been talking about is the biggest thing that's missing, where in school, they're just kind of like, okay, let's match A with B and then off you go, go get your degree, go get a job and be good. But yeah, your methodology is more about bringing your whole self, it sounds like, to work and being happy and not being in tears anymore.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And here's the thing too, everyone's different. So, you know, there's all these societal expectations, and I see it a lot too, to your point around when we're 16, families, tons of lawyers in the family. So I have to go be a lawyer. And then I get into law school and I hate it, you know? And so you spend all this money and time and energy, and then you're like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? So let's just pause and do some reflection. And really, what does light you up? And what are your values? And I like breaking values. You made a really good point. Like, I like breaking values down into your core values and then your lifestyle values. So, and a lot of times I actually talk to high school students about this. Like, what do you want your lifestyle to look like? So think about that. And then it's almost like you can reverse engineer your career a little bit more because you know what you, your lifestyle. I'll just share a quick example. I worked with this beloved, oh my gosh, she was so sweet. Her whole family is in the medical industry. And so she thought she was going to school to be a doctor. She got into Notre Dame or whatever school it was to, you know, and then realized halfway through, she's like, you know what? I don't want to spend 10 years in residency and traveling all over the place. Like, I want to have a family, and I don't want to spend, you know, the overnights working the hospital and doing the rounds. Like, that's not the lifestyle I want to live. So what can I do now? And so we ended up working together, and she kind of made a pivot into medical sales, which was much more of a professional role, kind of, you know, 8 to 5-ish kind of thing, versus having to dedicate your entire life to something like that. So she still was in the world of medicine, but just in a different way. So it's an interesting way to think about career.
Yeah, I love all of those stories so much. And for all of our listeners out there who are now riled up and ready to take the heart-based approach, what's one little small step that they can take towards a more fulfilling career through this heart-based approach?
I would say embrace your introversion. So recognize it as a strength, and then figure out how you can use it in your career. So what are those strengths that you're really good at? And then how can you map that to an aligned path that's going to keep you fulfilled and excited about your work?
That's awesome. And we talk a lot about that in the podcast. So for all you listeners out there who are still on the edge trying to figure that out, I think Jen's advice is just perfect. Just embrace that introversion you have and figure out what your strengths are, because they may not be the strengths that other people are looking for, but someone is looking for them.
Definitely.
Great. Well, Jen, it's been so lovely talking to you. And if our listeners want to find out more about your approach or follow you and find out more about what you do, where can they find you?
Sure. Thanks, Juliana. I have a podcast. It's called the Flourish Careers Podcast, where I talk a lot about this. And I also have a heart-based career planning checklist that I'd love to share with your listeners if you're open to that. And then on the socials, I like Instagram at flourish.careers or LinkedIn at Jennifer Smith Career Coach.
Perfect. So I'll be sure to put all of those links, including your checklist, in the show notes for everyone so that they can grab all of those freebies and resources from you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
It was.
All right. I'll talk to everyone next time. Bye now.